And welcome to episode number 51 of the ET PhD Team podcast with myself and only myself today because Anna had the audacity to go on holiday. So I thought I would take advantage of this time to give you some one-on-one time, you lucky things, to talk about the removal of tracking. This is something that comes up quite a lot with people who follow me on Instagram and some of my clients, and the struggle that comes with removing tracking. The most important thing, well, there's a lot of important things today, so grab a pen and paper or your notes on your phone. One of the most important things is that there's nothing inherently wrong with tracking your macros. It can provide a really useful tool to support fat loss, and also it can also educate you on food sources, what protein is, carbohydrate, fat, etc. However, what often happens is that when you start tracking and you've been tracking for a long time, it can feel really daunting to do anything outside of tracking, and you can feel that you struggle to eat according to hunger and fullness levels, and you very much eat according to what your MyFitnessPal and our other app tells you to eat. And that's when you want to look at if tracking is the right thing for you to do. So what we do know in the research is that there is an association between tracking your calories and macros and disordered eating habits. And disordered eating habits might be anything from binge eating, overeating, food preoccupation, cutting out food groups, etc. And so there's an association between tracking your calories and macros and disordered eating habits. However, we don't know if tracking leads to disordered eating habits or disordered eating habits leads to tracking. So you might be someone who had a really good relationship with food and started tracking, and now you feel like you've got a bit of a disordered relationship with food in some way. However, you could also be somebody who had disordered eating habits before and food was not quite right before, and you started tracking as a means to control that disordered eating, those disordered eating habits. And so it probably goes both ways depending on an individual person, but tracking doesn't directly contribute to disordered eating habits. That being said, tracking is obviously most often associated with dieting. And dieting can contribute to disordered eating habits for many people because of the focus on body and changing your body, and because of the drive for thinness and the food exclusion that often comes with poor diets. And so I'm not telling you to stop tracking. I'm telling you to hold yourself accountable and say, is tracking actually serving me well right now? And I would recommend everyone at some point spend time not tracking, whether that be forever, whether that be, you know, when you're not dieting, you take some time to eat more intuitively and then you maybe want to start tracking again. I'm not saying it has to be forever, a forever thing, but the idea of deleting MyFitnessPal from your phone should not cause you a lot of anxiety. And if it does, then again, start thinking about removing tracking. Another reason you might want to remove tracking is if you find yourself consistently overeating because you maybe go over your macros and then you think you've quote unquote fudged it up. And so you then decide just to keep eating and start again tomorrow. For you, it might be a really good idea to stop tracking also. If you're spending all day thinking about how you can top off your macros or how you can meet your macros, or hitting your macros is causing you stress, then you should stop tracking. If you find that you have to track every morsel of food and you are meeting your partner's parents for the first time when they cook your dinner and you're sitting there stressing about how to track because you don't know how much olive oil they used in the food, then again, coming off tracking might be very useful for you. I'm going to touch on a number of different things you can do today. However, what I've done is taken all of these methods as snippets from our Transition to Track Free program, which is an 8-week program that we run. The next one is starting in July. And That is a program that will guide you through the removal of tracking. So if the idea of it seems too overwhelming, or you like the idea of some of the things that we're using in this podcast, then signing up to the Transitions Track Free program is going to be a good idea for you. So first of all, you got two options to remove tracking. The first option is to go cold turkey, rip the plaster off, delete MyFitnessPal, and just go hell for leather, remove tracking. Now, there are certain people that this is going to be really useful for. And I've done this with clients. I've just taken it away, and the initial fear was that they can't do it. And actually, once we take it away, it's absolutely fine. If you are somebody who is binge eating or regularly overeating, removing tracking like that is a good idea. If you are binge eating, please do seek support. But in the first instance, take tracking away completely straight away. It is not helping you. And if you do this, the next step for that is to start following a regular meal pattern. Eat in the morning when you wake up, and then eat regularly every 3 hours after that. So eat your breakfast, 3 hours later, eat a large snack, 3 hours later, eat your lunch, etc., through the day. You're not eating to hunger at this point. You're eating to regulate your appetite, and you are eating to stop yourself from overeating. So there will be times that you eat that you're not necessarily hungry. But when you do eat, you're going to eat an average size portion. So you're not going to eat, like, for example, you're not going to eat one of those tiny little oat sachets that weighs 27.5 grams and that's it. It's very unlikely that that is going to be satisfying for any adult human being. So you're going to have good sized portions and eat regularly. It's going to feel challenging if you're not hungry. It's going to feel challenging if you overeat the night before, but you continue on. That is your non-negotiable. If the idea of pulling the plaster off seems unbearable to you, then you're going to try option B. Behind option B door is a more basic approach. So I'm going to assume the most extreme regimented macro tracking style, and that is tracking everything: vegetables, sauces, milks, having specific carbohydrate, fat, protein, calorie targets. So we're going to start here. It doesn't matter if you're not there, but you can join in on the phasic removal. The first thing you're going to do is remove tracking of vegetables, remove tracking of sauces, and remove tracking of milk, etc. For a week, no tracking of those things. Still hit your macro targets. Don't reduce them because you're not tracking your vegetables anymore. Keep your macro targets the same, but remove tracking of those things. The next week, what you're going to do is you're going to remove your carbohydrate and fat targets. So you're going to hit protein targets and you're going to hit calorie targets. Now, it doesn't matter where your carbohydrate and fat, how many grams of carbohydrate and fat you have, as long as you hit your calories. Yes, there will be a minimum amount of fat that you want to be consuming, but for you right now, that's not at the top list of your priorities, and you're removing tracking. So that's not our focus. So remove your carbohydrate and fat targets, focus on your protein and focus on your calories, and do that for a little while. Next, you are going to set yourself a calorie range. Say, for example, you are trying to hit calories of 2000, just because it's easy math. You're going to say, right, I'm going to set a range between 1700 and 2300 as an example, and I'm going to hit somewhere in between this range every single day. And it doesn't matter. You're not trying to hit an average intake across the week. You are literally just hitting in that range every day. Think about, maybe it's a day that you're really busy, so you maybe eat on the lower end. Maybe you're really hungry another day, so you eat on the higher end. You don't need to rationalize it. You don't need to say, why am I so hungry? You just eat within that range. And you're going to do that for a little while. Then you're going to start thinking about, okay, now I'm going to track for 3/4 of my day, but I'm not going to track the evening meal that I have with my family. So you track leading up to that point, and then you say, right, I'm not going to track my dinner. And you let yourself have the freedom to enjoy your dinner with your family. You may still say, okay, I still want to make sure that I get protein in this meal, so I'll make sure I have a serving of protein. If you've been tracking for long enough, you know what a serving of protein is. You don't need to weigh it. You know what it is. It doesn't matter if your protein serving is 100 grams, 120 grams or 80 grams. Realistically, in the grand scheme of life, it does not make a difference. So start there. Start with that meal. And then consider, right, I've done a meal untracked for a while now. Now I'm going to try a day untracked. This is not a day where you say, I'm not going to track on a Saturday and then I'm just going to go out for brunch and then I'm going to go out for a pub lunch and then I'm going to drink all day and then I'm going to get Domino's pizza. Other pizzas are available. And then I'm going to eat some cake because then tomorrow I get back on tracking. Mm-mm. Use a day that you feel quite comfortable with. Maybe you have the same sort of meals a lot of the time and just don't track it that day and see how you feel. And then over time, increase that to 2 days. Try a weekday and a weekend and then increase that to 3 days and then eventually increase that all the way to 7 days. That is your basic approach to the removal of tracking. Now, I know what you're thinking. You're going to think, well, when I stop tracking, I gain weight. You may well gain weight. This is a weight neutral approach. Your weight may go up, your weight may go down, your weight may stay the same. The worst thing you can do is regularly weigh yourself at this point and let that guide what you do. Because as soon as you gain a little bit of weight, you will panic and you'll go back tracking again. And then you're back at square one. So I strongly advise you to stop weighing yourself as you go through this process. It is not the goal of what you're doing. It's not in line with what you value right now. So don't do it. Put your scales away, throw them away, put them in the cupboard, do something with them that you can't see them. Stop weighing yourself. That's the first thing. The second thing you're going to think to yourself, well, I just know how much calories are in food anyway, and I'll just keep counting it in my head. First of all, you probably will. But I am a nutritionist who competed for 4.5 years, and I can solemnly swear, brownie's honour, that I couldn't tell you how many calories I've eaten today. This idea that it's a fitness narrative of that people say, well, you've tracked for so long, you know exactly what you're eating. No, I know how to eat protein in every meal. I know what a serving of protein looks like. And if you really asked me to, and I thought about it, I could make an educated range of calorie guess of what I've eaten within a range-ish. But I don't think about these things. And I know that when you stop tracking, you are going to say, I'm counting it in my head. I can't stop thinking about it in my head. I keep counting calories in my head. Yes, you will. But that will dissipate over time. You have to just let time pass with this one. However, there is a little tip that we use with clients sometimes. And I will give you it for free because I'm just so generous. The tip is this: you are not your thoughts. And you'll have heard this before on Instagram cliche quotes 100 times before, but hear me out. Right now, I'm going to be quiet and you're going to listen to the conversations in your head for 5 seconds. So in that 5 seconds, I guarantee you had a conversation going on in your head right now. That conversation might have been like, what on earth is she talking about? This is not what I tuned in for. That's fine. The conversation might have been about, I don't know, something that you were going to eat for dinner. But the fact is, that conversation was going on in your head and you noticed that conversation. If you could notice that conversation, that means you are not that conversation. You are the listener of that conversation. And if you're the listener of that conversation, you can choose whether or not to listen to that conversation or not. So you're going to listen to the conversation again, but this time you're going to say to yourself, I choose not to listen to this right now. So listen to the conversation in your head. Now tell yourself, I choose not to listen to this right now, and focus on the present moment. Focus on something you see, something you hear, something you smell, something you taste, and something you can feel. Name each of those things. And that is what you call a mindful moment. Now, you have the power to do that at any point in your day. This is a skill that you can develop, you can learn, and it takes a lot of practice to do. But you have the power to not give your thoughts airtime if you do not want to give them thoughts. So, one day when you are removing tracking, you are going to count on your phone or a notepad, whatever, you're going to keep a tally of how many times you think about calories throughout the day when you're not tracking. And you're going to keep a tally throughout the day so that by the end of the day, let's say 50, you've counted 50 times that you've thought about calories that day. There's no judgment, there's no number that it has to be, but just come up with your number. And that's how many times you've thought about calories that day. Then what you're going to do, you got two options. The first option, you can say, right, I thought about calories 50 times today. I'm going to set a target of 30 times. That's how many times I'm allowed to think about calories. And so tomorrow or another day when you've got time, you are then going to say, right, okay, I'm going to actively think about counting calories less. That means I'm going to have to think about other things more. Fine. So you keep a tally on your phone and it gets to 2 o'clock in the afternoon and you go, oh, geez, I've counted calories 25 times today. I've only got 5 times less. Fine, you've got 5 times left, but once you've used them up, you've set that limit to yourself. That's how many times you're allowed to count calories. You're not allowed to count them anymore. So when you hit 30, that's it. And then you have to start thinking about something else. And when those thoughts come up, you say, nope, I've set this limit. I'm not allowed to do this anymore. I'm choosing not to do this anymore. You have that power to do that. You are not your thoughts. Your other option is when those calorie thoughts come into your head, you can say, just what I did to you there. You can just say, stop. I noticed this calorie thought in my head. I'm choosing not to listen to it. Stop. And then you can replace it with a mindful moment. Oh, there's calories. Right, okay. I can see the sky. I can hear a plane. I can smell the sunflowers. I can taste the fake bacon I had for lunch. And I can feel the sweat dripping down my back, as an example. Totally not real life at all. That's your mindful moment. And when you do that, that takes away your thought of the calories. Now, like I said, this requires consistent effort, consistent practice, but you can do this with literally anything. So I don't do this with food anymore. However, sometimes I might do it with a person, or if something's triggered me, or work, or something that's on my brain that I feel nervous about, or that I feel frustrated about, or I'm angry about. And then I start thinking about it all the time and I think, no, like, I don't want to give this any more airtime. I am not my thoughts. I have the power to switch that off. And just like that, you say, nope, enough. That was me clicking my fingers. Poor attempt by me. You can say, stop. I'm going to think about something else. Like I said, practice. But calories is a good one to do it with. Another thing that is going to be really useful to you is journaling. I talk about journaling a lot, and there's a reason for it. Journaling is so good to get thoughts out of your head and to stop you from mulling them over. So you can do this as a daily practice, and you can say, right, I'm going to sit down for 10 minutes every day and journal. Or you can do it in the moment, and it might be actually that you don't want to write. You might want to do a voice note on your phone. You might want to leave a note on your phone. But when you find yourself overthinking food or feeling panicky about not tracking, write it down. Get it out of your head, put it somewhere. Journaling can be really good for that. But what journaling can also be really good for is when you start to worry. So say, for example, you are worried about not tracking. Maybe you think, I'm going to gain lots of weight and this is not the right thing for me to do, even though deep down you know it's the right thing. You've got to get your journal out and you're going to say, the story that I'm telling myself is that I need to track or I'm going to gain weight because I feel heavier today. I'm definitely fatter today. And then you're going to say, is this fact or is this feeling? Now, you're not going to know if it's fact because you've not weighed yourself. And you can genuinely feel fatter or different even if your body hasn't changed, because that feeling is related to your mood. It's not related to your body. However, is this fact or is this feeling? This is feeling. Okay. So I feel, and rather than saying I am worried, see, you're going to say I feel worried. And if you see the difference there, I am worried means that I am worried. I have identified with that feeling. How hard it is to get rid of something you've identified with. Difference, I feel worried. Feeling worried means it's transient. It's impermanent. It's going to pass. And it's not me. It's just a feeling that I have at this moment in time. So I feel worried. Okay, now what? You could say something like, okay, what happens if I have gained weight? Answer the question. What happens if this is true? What if this is fact? What if I've gained weight? Does that impact your relationships? Does it impact your job? Does it impact your health? Does it impact your self-worth? Okay. Okay, if I've gained weight, that means that I'm not worthy. My self-worth is reduced. Okay, is that logical? Why is your weight your worth? Think about other people. Is their weight their worth? Is my weight my worth? I did an email recently where I sent an email to my subscribers that said, you know, I've gained weight, I've gone up 2 dress sizes. Do you think I'm less worthy? No one said they thought I was less worthy. And I mean, they might have been lying to me, let's be honest, but I don't think they were. They realised actually they were holding themselves to a different standard. Shock horror, we hold ourselves to a different standard. So journaling allows you to really dig into this. Ask yourself questions. If you want more questions, I've got tons of them on my Instagram. Anna's got tons of them on Instagram. I think some of the other coaches do as well. So look at that. Look at journaling prompts. And also a really good thing about journaling is that you can add self-compassion affirmations in there. You can say, I am enough. I am working on my health right now. This process is scary and I am brave. This process is scary, but I am vulnerable. I can be vulnerable and brave and scared and courageous all at the same time. These feelings are natural. These feelings are normal. These feelings will pass. There's so much you could put into your journal. But imagine how you will feel if you write things like that down and you take those things on board. Another thing, a final thing that you can do when you are working on removing tracking is implement the hunger scale. Now, we use this in Transition to Track Free. We use it with our clients, but we break it down into a lot more detail. But I will try and give you it in a bit of a nutshell for the purpose of this podcast. Lots of ways you can use it. Now, the hunger scale is a scale of your hunger, shock, I know, between 1 to 10, where you say, 1, I'm not hungry at all, 10, I'm really, really hungry. And when you eat, there's going to be a sweet spot for you where it's a good time to eat to be mindful. There's going to be a point where you're really hungry where you can't be mindful and you overeat. And there's going to be a point when you are not really that hungry and you don't want to eat. And when you are working on removing tracking, over time you want to become more mindful. And that means being present, being non-judgmental, taking your time, chewing your food. But it also means honouring your hunger, fullness and preferences. Key point, preferences. So, sit down with a meal each day. Mindful meal. No distractions, no phone, no family, if that's possible. No TV. 10 minutes at least. Notice all the tastes, textures, feelings of your food. Smells. Probably no sounds, but you never know. And you're going to sit with your meal. And before you start, you're going to rate yourself. How hungry am I? Out of 10. It's going to be completely subjective, so there's no right or wrong answer. And then halfway through your meal, you'll put your spoon down, your fork down, and you say, how hungry am I now? How has this changed from the beginning of the meal? And at the end of the meal, you're going to say, how hungry am I? Out of 10. How has this changed from the beginning of the meal? And that is the beginning of utilising the hunger scale. Now, what you'll start to find is that some days you'll say, I am really hungry. So you're high number on the hunger scale. And actually, by the end of the meal, you still feel hungry. And you can say, why? Why am I still hungry? Well, that's because I left it too long to eat. I can look back and see, because you're journaling on this. I can look back and see, actually, I left it too long to eat. Now I know if I leave it that long, I get too hungry and I can't be mindful. So I won't leave it that long to eat next time. Or you might eat way past fullness. And I can guarantee at least half of you listen to this podcast can't leave food on your plate. You struggle to leave food on your plate. And that might be because you've got brought up not to leave food on your plate because it was rude or because there were starving children elsewhere in the world. We've all been there in terms of being had that drilled into us. So using the hunger scale can support you in learning to leave food on your plate. And I'm not saying you have to leave food on your plate. If you're still hungry, you're still hungry. And most of the time I won't leave food on my plate. But you have the choice to stop eating when you're full. You don't have to finish everything on your plate. It's not a waste. You can put that food back in the cupboard or in the fridge, or you can give it to someone else. It's a waste if you eat it when you're not hungry, unless it's really delicious. Remember, you can honour your preferences too in this whole process. So start utilising the hunger scale and really tune into it. Get curious. The whole purpose of all of this stuff is to get curious. Curious about what it feels like for you to be hungry. Curious about what it feels like to be full. Curious about the stories that you're telling yourself when you eat, when you don't eat. At this point, it's less about rationalising your hunger, but it's more about just noticing the trends for yourself. So use the little hunger scale, practice mindful eating, practice a mindful meal each day, and get curious about how that feels for you and change your eating accordingly. And I know this is going to be difficult, but don't eat without tracking and say this will probably take me to about 2,000 calories, so that's fine. That's not the purpose of this. The purpose is that you are getting curious about how you feel and honouring that hunger and honouring that fullness. And it will be uncomfortable, but the best things come from leaning into the discomfort and holding space for that discomfort and challenging yourself to do it. So like I said, use these strategies if you like them. Let me know. If you listen to the podcast, tag me in it, share me in it, tell me what you're using. Tell me if it's worked for you. I would really like to know. And like I said, also, this is probably about, 10% of what we do on Transition to Track Free. We do a hell of a lot more than this, and with our clients. So if that's something that you want more support with, then definitely go to my website. The link is in the show notes, and have a look at that program because it's right up your street. Thank you, everybody, for listening, and we'll be back next week.